Hey, it's Scott Petrek with another episode of the Browns Zone Coverage Podcast. The playoffs are finally here, with the Browns heading to Houston for a Saturday afternoon matchup with the Texans. Despite all the trials and tribulations, this season has always felt like it was destined to reach this point. Now the real fun begins. Here to discuss, as always, is Dave Chudowski of GO, the WKYC Morning News. Hey, Chud.
Scott, here we go. We get to do a playoff pod, my man. Are you
Yeah,
ready?
I tell you what, we looked through the archives, Chud. This will be our first. We started doing
Yeah.
this in April of 21, so this will be our first leading up to a playoff game podcast.
All right, April 21. Wow. Okay. So this is exciting. And you know what? Hats off to us. We almost got their record exactly right. We had them
Yeah.
at 10-7, they were 11-6. I think throughout this whole season, we've had our ups and downs with some misses here and there, but overall, I think we've done a pretty good job just following this team and having, conversations about this team for people to listen to. And I think I'm excited about today to dive into what we're looking for. And one thing you just said at the top, you said it was destined to, maybe be this point. And I don't disagree with that, but at the same point, I'm gonna write a piece that's gonna air Friday morning. I also want to add to that, though. At times I gotta believe Browns fans were thinking maybe it wasn't destined when you have Nick Chubb get hurt, Deshaun Watson get hurt, and all the injuries and all the different things. And to think that you'd be playing a game in Houston against the Texans and it wouldn't be Deshaun Watson under center and it would be Joe Flacco, it seems somewhat improbable.
No, I'm glad you said that, Chud, because I completely agree with what you just said. I think in the moment when Chubb goes down, when Deshaun Watson goes down, when even DTR gets a concussion in Denver, like there are certain points where it's like, oh, this could be the thing that sabotages the season. But I think if you take a little step back, it always had positive momentum, right? Even with the blips. That's what I meant is, okay, you had the Chubb thing, everybody freaked out. But then they started winning games, right? Then you had the Watson thing, but then they went and everybody freaks out, even inside the building, right? To some degree, I wrote a story last week about that. Like they were in that meeting and there's a okay, but then everybody says, hey, we can still do this. And that's the key to the season, right? Is overcoming all these injuries and the adversity. But so you had these moments of doubt and moments of crisis, but they were able to overcome them relatively quickly that. I think big picture, it was like, okay, this team is going to be good enough to get to the playoffs. Now, Joe Flacco coming in as a savior, nobody saw that coming, right? I mean, all of those kind of individual
Nobody.
things, but it felt like this to me, it felt like it there was always, at least for the most part, positive momentum, and they had a good enough record that you're like, okay, I can see them getting to the playoffs. Now, I think the mind shift has shifted with Flacco is like, man, they can do something in the playoffs.
Boy, you just helped me write my intro for my piece on Friday
Ha
because I already know how I'm going to write it. I kind of started doing it. I'm going to write it tomorrow and we'll air it Friday morning on GO on Channel 3, which is, by the way, the only place you can see the game,
That's
Browns
true.
and Texans on Channel 3, little NBC football playoff action for you. So, expensive plug right there. So we're excited about that. Browns pregame huddle at 2:30 on Channel 3 on Saturday. But my intro is now going to be what you just said is that heading into the year, we had the expectations. We thought this was a team with Deshaun Watson and all the talent that could make the playoffs. And that's how I'm going to start it out. I'm going to say, hey, this was a team we were excited about, but then it's all the things that happened that made you think, all right, it's not going to happen. But I will say this. We told you, and we've mentioned this a few times, after Chubb got hurt, you and I told everyone, don't worry, they can still overcome this. But I'm not going to lie, Scott. With the quarterback situation when Watson went down, I wasn't sure. I didn't know if they could overcome it. I think we did say that they'd still be a playoff team.
Right.
I think we did. We
Yeah.
said they can overcome Watson because they'd already had what, 7 wins?
Well, they
I
were
think at
six
the
and
time.
three when six and three
Six
when he
and
got
three.
hurt, and then they won the next week to get to 7-3.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. So 6-3, 7-3. So, but even though we thought they could still make the playoffs, I don't think you and I thought they could go to the Super Bowl. And I think now it's realistic to think they could. And what's crazy about it is what you just said is that nobody saw the Flacco thing coming. And that's why it is a possibility now. And if anyone says they did, they're lying. And here's why. No NFL team took him off the couch, not even the Browns, to give him a shot until they finally had to.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, the Browns had PJ Walker, right? From week one, they could have signed Joe Flacco. And for a million reasons, and I want to get into this later because I was in a small group that sat down with Flacco on Friday and we discussed why wasn't he signed, right? But so the Browns could have signed him in week one and he could have been their third guy or their second guy, and they didn't. And it took a Deshaun Watson season-ending injury and PJ Walker's struggles for the Browns to say, okay, we got to go get somebody. And whether or not it was to just be the backup to Dorian Thompson Robinson or to eventually replace Thompson Robinson, which is what happened, and a concussion factored into that, they had to go get somebody with experience and they settled on Flacco. But yeah, nobody saw that coming. The Browns wouldn't have saw that coming. They didn't see it coming, right? Which is why this season has, I don't necessarily want to throw this word around too much, but I will, like a magical feel to it, because it's such an interesting story. I think it's such an easy story to get behind for the fans. My mom told me yesterday how excited she was about this because Flacco is now the guy. And, he's turning 39 next week. He's got all these kids at home. He's thrown at a high school field with his dad and his brother. He's picking up kids. He's making eggs in the morning. Like, he's living a normal life, waiting for somebody to call, knowing that he can still play, right? Like, that's the biggest part of this for him, is he knew he could play. And he's like, well, why is nobody calling me? Right? So for him, for the Browns to call him, for him to get thrust into the lineup and then go 4-0 to finish the season, throw for 1,600 yards, 13 touchdowns, it's truly remarkable. But it's not just like a four-game window, right? Because you also have the fact that he won a Super Bowl with the Ravens and he was Super Bowl MVP, right? So he has this pedigree, he has this resume that instantly instilled confidence in the locker room. His teammates have said it over and over again. He showed up, you're like, hey, we know who this guy is. And then he goes out and throws in practice, and you go, okay, well, he's still got the arm. And then he goes a new game and knows the offense and knows how to read a defense and makes great throw after great throw. And it's like, wow, the sky does feel like it's the limit.
Yeah. Scott, I'm not in every locker room. I'm in none of them now. I don't go in the locker room anymore. You're there. You hear everything he says, and I'm sure have read as many articles as you can on it. And I may have missed it, but has he said flat out why it took so long to get the call, or did he give a reason as to why he thinks no one was going after him?
Well, that segues perfectly into what I wanted to talk about, Chud. So we sat down with him Friday afternoon. There's four of us in this room in Berea. And that was the one thing I wanted to know. Why weren't you signed? We see the success he's had since he's joined the Browns. We saw what he did in week two, 2022, against the Browns with the Jets. And you go, okay, obviously this guy can still play. We saw a rash of quarterback injuries across the league. We've seen poor quarterback play throughout the league, right? We all know that there's probably not 32 starting quarterbacks worthy, 32 quarterbacks worthy of starting in the NFL. There certainly are not 64 better than Joe Flacco, right? Yet he's staying at home, and there's more than that on rosters and practice squads. So why was that? And he didn't know for sure, because obviously you're going to have to ask, like the front office guys, right? But he had some theories, and to me, they make all the sense in the world. And one of them is, people kind of know who Joe Flacco is. He's been around long enough. They say, okay, this is the guy. We know who he is. He hasn't had success in a while, right? Like, his last winning season was, I think, 2007. I'm sorry, 2017 with the Ravens. And then they drafted Lamar Jackson the next year. And he started the season and got replaced by Jackson. Since he left Baltimore, or maybe it was Denver, in his previous 17 starts before the Browns, he was 3-14. So if you don't dig into the film and you just look at that number, you see a guy that's 38, you see a guy who it feels like his best days are behind him, you go, eh, maybe he could help us, but could he really? And that's, I'm like quoting Joe, or pretty close to that quote, right? Like, yeah, he might be able to help us, but then again, he might not. And look at the 3-14. And if you're trying to bring him in as a starter, he goes, I'm not a sexy guy. I'm not a sexy pick to bring in at this stage of my career. People think they know me. They think, he didn't say the words washed up, But it's like, okay, there's other guys that are better than him, can replace him, that would excite your fan base. So even if you found a GM or a coach that said, hey, I think I can win with this guy, he says, it's a tough sell. What he didn't understand was, even to a higher degree, he was, I made peace with the fact that I had was going to be a backup because I didn't like it. He goes, I still think I can play at a high level, but I had made peace that I was going to have to be a backup. So if I'm the backup, you don't have to sell me to your fan base. You just bring me in on the backup. But maybe then you don't want a guy that can throw and that's had the success and it has kind of a big persona to him. Maybe you don't want him behind that young rookie or that rookie who struggles or who could struggle, right? Because then you get the discussion, hey, why don't we try Flacco? So there's some dynamics there. He also brought up the point that some teams are built where if the starter goes down, they're like, okay, we're not going to win this year, right? And we've seen that throughout the league. And I think when you look at the quarterback roster makeup across the league, that's real. Now, the Browns were in such a point this season where they couldn't just punt on it, right? They're invested, their coaches, the coach and GM need to win. They're already 6-3, like we said, when Watson gets hurt. It's not like you can just go, okay, we're going to pack it up for next year. So they were in a position where they had it made sense to go sign a guy like Flacco. But for instance, the Bengals, they went with Jake Browning and actually he played well, but he's a guy who never played in the league, right? But I think in Cincinnati, they may have thought before the season, hey, if Joe Burrow gets hurt, we're screwed anyway. So we don't need to go get a veteran and pay him more than we're paying a guy that's never played in the league. So Joe thought about all those things and thinks all those were factors. Now, last point on this is what's going to be interesting is now he's put this on tape. What happens next year, right? It's going to be hard for teams to ignore him when he's had this success this year.
Yeah, no question. And that's obviously a road will come down at another point.
Right.
I don't want to get into this topic right now. We'll save it for next week if they win. But remember the LeBron James Flacco question I asked you last pod about
Yeah.
who would be that? I got some feedback on that, Scott. I got a couple text messages from people that listen to the pod, and one of them disagreed with you. And I'm not going to bring that up today, but
Interesting.
if they win, I'm gonna bring that back. I'm gonna bring
Yeah.
that back in the future. Yeah. So it's a definite question that fans care about. Because I mean, this guy, Flacco fever. I mean, like you said, your mom. I mean, my wife's watching games more into it now. Everyone in this town, first of all, millions of people are Browns fans anyway, or what, I don't even know what the number
Sure,
is, how many
sure.
Browns fans there are. But this brings maybe the lower shelf Browns fans that, care but don't live and die by it. Like, it's just bringing even more people into it. And the fact that they're in the playoffs, and we knew that if they made the playoffs, this would happen. And it will just increase as the weeks go on. I mean, like, the fever pitch right now will be triple if they make it to the AFC Championship game. We have no idea what it would be like if they go to the Super
Right.
Bowl, but I can only guess, right?
Exactly.
So we'll go down that bridge again because we have so much to get into. I don't want to hit that, but I thought you might find that interesting. Like, people are listening to these
Yeah.
opinions, man, and they got opinions of their own. So
Yeah, that is interesting.
one opinion I have is, and I've caught this on social media and I've heard it on the local radio stations about house money. I'm sure you've heard that. Meaning, whether if the Browns lose this week, can we all just sit back and say, hey, they got here, they overcame a lot, we should be proud of them, or the sense that they've done enough already. Well, I have a big answer to that, and I disagree. No, you should not think it's house money. When you get here, man, you have to take advantage of it. In 95, when the Indians lost the World Series, I thought they'd get back, and they did, but I thought they'd get back and win it. I mean, I think most Indians fans did. We had LeBron James and only won one title. Scott, it is so hard, as we know, to get to this point. Now we're here. You got to take advantage of it, man. Don't let this slip away. Go out there and take it. Agree or disagree?
Oh, completely agree. Completely agree, Chud. And all the points you made are completely valid. I would also say things are so fragile in the NFL that
Yes.
nothing is promised to you. We don't know that any quarterback, it could be Deshaun Watson, it could be Joe Flacco, We know that any quarterback will play at this level next year, or especially next year heading into the playoffs with this kind of momentum. You don't know, and we can say the Browns were killed by injuries. And yes, they were killed by injuries, but you could have more devastating injuries next year. The chemistry could be a little bit off. Just look, I mean, all you have to do is look at Philly, right? Philly loses the Super Bowl last year. Everybody was head over heels. They started the season, I don't know, was it 7-0, 8-0, something? Like, they got off to some crazy start this year, and now they've lost a bunch of games in a row. They are stumbling into the playoffs. They got to go on the road week one, right? So that's how fragile life in the NFL is, and you can't take anything for granted. That's exactly right. And I also think, and we've seen this, I think more and more lately in the NFL playoffs, it's the hot team at the right time, and if you get in, you got a chance. And I don't know if it doesn't matter as much if you're on the road or home. So yeah, so you're one of 14 teams, you got a shot, and that shot doesn't come around very often. So in this roster, you know, who knows? It may or may not be the same next year. You know, the rest outside of quarterback, there's going to be changes. Will there be significant changes? We don't know those kind of things. So yeah, I'm with you, Chud. I understand where that thought comes from, but how talented I think they are, especially defensively, and with the quarterback playing the way he is, I don't think you can just punt on it at all.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, so much to get to still, and we'll get back to the game itself here coming up on Saturday. But before we do, let's just wrap up the regular season. And were you surprised at all about what happened Sunday? I mean, you picked them to win. You thought that they would try to ride the momentum, but man, it was pretty clear, like when it was 14-0, that the Browns are punting on this game. Are you disappointed that they took that approach? Are you surprised, or did you just, what are your thoughts on that?
No, I'm not disappointed at all. I don't think it messes with their momentum. What I was surprised about was that the Bengals played as many of their key guys as they did for as long as they did. Like, I didn't
Yeah.
expect Joe Mixon to get, I don't know what he wound up with carry-wise or touch-wise, but he got the ball like all day. Like, I didn't think
Yeah.
that would happen, right? They were out of it. You know, I'm sure, I know he had some contract incentives there. So that's what surprised me. If I knew that the Bengals were going to play all their guys or most of their guys most of the game, I probably would not have picked the Browns to win. You know, it was tough. Jeff Driscoll, the quarterback, was a tough spot, right? He's got, you know, he doesn't have Amari Cooper. He doesn't have David Njoku. He's got a backup line. It's just a tough spot for them to be in. They get in a hole. You know, you're not going to climb out of it. So no, I mean, I was a little surprised with how the Bengals handled it. I think the Browns took the right approach. I mean, even then, you know, they're playing mostly backups, and they still had guys get hurt, right? Like, it's just
Yeah.
impossible to avoid that. So you had to do what they did with their main guys.
Yeah, and we said last week we both agreed 100% that they should rest their key guys, and they did. And anyone that disagrees with that, I don't get it. I mean, again, I don't see how they lose any momentum really here at
Nope.
all. I would have been way worse if they lost to Myles Garrett or Joe Flacco or someone like that. I understand to a degree where people say you want to keep going and keep the momentum going. I get that to a degree, but I wrote down in my notes here, basically, and you just summed it up. It was clear the Bengals wanted that W. They went out. They just wanted it. Did they want to finish over 500? Were they trying to build momentum going into the
Right.
offseason? I didn't listen to all their post game sound and get a full feel of why they did it, but obviously they wanted that win.
Yeah, and real quick, the fact that they did win, Chud, 9-8 for the Bengals. Every team in the AFC North finishes with a winning record. First
How
time
about
since
that?
first time in the merger since 19 first time since the merger in 1970. I've seen a stat out there, first time since 1935. Like, I don't know what the divisions were in 1935, right? The Browns were 11 years from playing in a different league in 1935. So that doesn't mean much to me, but the fact that since the merger in 70, no division has had every team finish above 500 is remarkable. And not to give ourselves too big a pat on the back, but that's what we thought at the beginning of the season, right? We had that discussion. Like, three teams are going to go to the playoffs. I thought they all could have a winning record. Now, I thought Pittsburgh would be the fourth team. I thought the Bengals were the best team, but they didn't play that well, and then Burrow got hurt and all that stuff. But we knew overall this division was going to be this good, and it was. And there's few times where things can actually go exactly as we thought they would.
No, you're right. And I think that was their only win in the division too.
It
So,
was. How about that?
maybe they felt like they needed a win in the division. But you're right. That was going to be the next thing to say. How about that? Three teams from the AFC North. How about the Steelers sneaking in there? You know, the luxury of playing the Ravens, you know, with them kind of taking the day off, right?
Right.
But nonetheless, but the Steelers put themselves in a position to have that opportunity. And then Jacksonville. So I guess I'm asking you two things in one here because I had both questions for you. Number one, are you surprised the Steelers got in? And number two, how about the Jags fall? I mean, before
Yeah.
they played the Browns, they were looking at being the number one seed in the AFC, and now they don't make the playoffs.
Yeah. Pittsburgh. I actually thought they were going to lose to Baltimore, even though Baltimore wasn't playing Lamar Jackson and a bunch of their guys. I thought the Steelers would lose. But they're just gritty. And, the Ravens, it was a sloppy game. It was sloppy weather. Steelers just figured out a way to win. Now, I don't think they have any chance of making any kind of run in the postseason, and maybe they'll prove me way wrong. Obviously, TJ Watt being out the first week of the playoff hurts them considerably. I just, with Mason Rudolph, and they have some other issues on this roster. I think it's going to be one and done, and I think Buffalo is going to hammer them. But weather could be weird in Buffalo. It's probably stupid of me to dismiss the Steelers, but they deserve a ton of credit for rallying, going to your third quarterback, getting to the playoffs like they have. Again, Mike Tomlin shows why he's one of the best in the business. And then Jacksonville, we had that discussion last week. Like, who would you rather play if you're the Browns? And I was like, man, there's still something about Jacksonville that can be dangerous. Doug Peterson's won a Super Bowl. Trevor Lawrence is really good. And then you see how the collapse becomes complete. And you go, no, that's a team the Browns would have wanted to play, right? Because they're not playing well. They haven't played well in a while. Houston has CJ Stroud back. Obviously, we're going to talk about him. But yeah, I mean, from going to, they had 8 wins, I don't know, after 10, 11 weeks, and then they finished with 9. That's a huge fall. And there's big questions now about, I think Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence moving forward.
Yeah, no question. I think, you know, before the year, we talked about three teams making it in, and I did a prediction thing for Channel 3, and I looked back at it the other day, and I think I know I had 10 wins because I had that on here with you,
Right.
but I had them as the third team in the division getting the 7 seed. So they end up with the 5 seed at number two. Do you remember what you had there? But here's the funny thing. We make all those predictions assuming Deshaun Watson's the quarterback.
Right.
That's what's just so funny. You never think it would happen this way. But I guess, and the thing is, I'm not, and people can say what they want. I'm not trying to give ourselves a pat on the back. More so is I'm trying to say it's nice that it finally kind of went the way we thought it might, as opposed to having a meltdown and, or, you know, you thought they wouldn't even have a chance. Like, it's fun to
Yes.
actually see it happen the way it did. Does that make sense?
Oh, for sure. For sure. And I think I had them. I think a 10-7 is right. So I think we both had them there. I'd have to double check. But I know I had them in the playoffs. I had them as a wild card. I'm pretty sure I had Cincinnati win in the division. I had three teams going to the playoffs from the division. I had a different order, right? I think I had Cincinnati, Cleveland, Baltimore, or Cincinnati, Baltimore, Cleveland. But yeah, so it got there different ways. But I'm working at, we're doing this special section, like a playoff preview section on the Browns. So my cover story is going to be like the 12 steps that got them to the playoffs, right? And it would have been better if the Browns had won 12 games, but I like the even number better. I like the dozen versus 11. So I'm going with 12 and fudging it a little bit, but I'm going with 12. And if you look at how they got there, right? We talked about the quarterback and the fact that they're there despite the quarterback issue is amazing. But they have the number one defense in the league because they hired Jim Schwartz. What a huge difference that made. Kevin Stefanski's coaching incredible. Will probably be coach of the year, right? I think he's or the favorite to be coach of the year. How he did it, right? His influence over this team as a play caller and just as a captain of the whole team, right? Guiding the ship has been remarkable. Andrew Berry, finding enough depth and talent where it doesn't matter if you have to start four or five quarterbacks because there's enough guys there. And then just the players, right? Myles Garrett having an NFL Defensive Player of the Year season. Amari Cooper, David Njoku, right? Having the breakthrough everybody's been waiting for. So there's so many pieces to this puzzle that were necessary to get them there where we thought they were going to go all along. But you needed these different things to get them there.
Yeah, I think it says a lot about the Browns organization. They're able to overcome what the Bengals weren't, you know? And maybe that shows you the Browns are deeper than the Bengals, because when Burrow went down, they were done. Now they did show a little glimmer there at the end, but bottom line, that hurt them more than Watson going down hurt us amazingly, I guess, right?
Oh, without a doubt, yeah.
Yeah. All right, you ready to move on to Saturday? I mean, we've already talked about it a little bit in the general sense of what this means for the city and the organization, but now let's dive in. Are you ready?
Yep.
First of all, no surprise 4:30 on Saturday. I think we both felt like it was going to be a Saturday game. So I'm sure you're not surprised that it kicks off the playoff weekend.
I'm not, and Kevin Stefanski said yesterday he was excited to have the first game, so you don't have to wait around for it.
Yeah.
To me, it was going to be, if you look and break down all the matchups, you can rate which are sexiest and who's got the better, who's more attractive to their national TV audience. And the Browns are going to be at the bottom of toward the bottom of that list, and mostly because they're playing an NFC South team, right? I think the Browns are the more attractive of the teams of. Even with Houston, even with CJ Stroud, they would have been with Jacksonville. They would have been with Indy. But you got Dallas, you got Kansas City, you got Miami, you got Philly and Tampa Bay, right? So I expected the Browns to be in one of the quote unquote lesser games. And to me, it was going to be Saturday afternoon or Monday night. I thought it was going to be one of the two. And personally, I'm glad it's Saturday. I wouldn't have wanted to wait till Monday. Deadline's brutal on Monday nights.
Yeah.
I think it worked out just fine.
So you think Monday night is kind of the next the lowest one after 4:30?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you could throw in the Sunday at one game, right? Like those are the three. But I think somebody told me that since they've gone to this format, Monday night's been a 4-5 matchup. So the Browns are going to be in the 4-5 matchup, and it wound up being 4-5 with Eagles Bucks. So
Yeah.
I don't know if that means it's a less attractive one or it's just that's kind of a default one is
Yeah.
the Monday night game.
Well, I think Sunday at 1 is maybe a little bigger than you might realize, because it's CBS's game. You
Okay.
know, that's the one they have, right? Because on Saturday you have NBC and Peacock,
Right.
and then on Sunday is when you get your CBS and Fox game, and that Fox 4 o'clock game is huge. So the
Yeah.
4 o'clock game would have been huge had it been CBS, and then the Sunday night game is NBC. And then Monday night's ESPN. So,
It's a big weekend for NBC.
it is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, no question. The only surprise I found was I kind of thought that, looking at it now, I'm kind of surprised Kansas City Miami isn't the Sunday night game, and the Rams Detroit is Saturday night.
Yeah, that's interesting. I could see that.
Yeah.
Now, it's LA. There's a lot of storylines in that Rams Detroit game, right? Goff
Yeah.
Rams, Stafford Lions, Stafford going back to Detroit.
True.
I think the Miami slide might have affected that. Like
Yeah.
Miami just is, it looks like they're going to be one and done too. Now, hey, they could figure it out. And I love that coach. And Tua could light it up with Tyreek. But, it feels like Miami's getting ready to crumble here.
Yeah. And the other thing that's interesting too is you see all three AFC games will be done before the first NFC game.
Yeah, you know what? I did not notice that, Chud, and it's really interesting. And now I wonder how, not to get ahead of ourselves, but how that next weekend plays. Right? I mean, actually, I'm thinking about travel arrangements and where, are we going to, could I go to Baltimore? Could it be Kansas City? Could it be Buffalo? The divisional round, then do they go AFC, AFC on Saturday, or do they go one and one, Saturday, Sunday? Because the Niners versus the winner of Bucks, Eagles is locked into Sunday because you got to go Monday, Sunday. You don't go Monday, Saturday. So do they just go AFC, NFC, Saturday, Sunday in the divisional round, or do they switch it up? And we're not going to know that until next weekend, but I could see AFC and NFC division again.
Yeah, I'd have to look at the TV matchups there, because I'm not sure if NBC sticks around for one more game. I think maybe they do, or they bow out and then it's just Fox and
Yeah, Fox
CBS.
CBS.
That plays into it as well.
Right.
Not like it did in the regular season. It doesn't as much anymore, where it was always NFC on Fox and CBS was AFC. I don't know if you noticed that
Oh
they kind of
yeah.
mix and match now. So,
It's weird.
but the how about this? I saw someone put on Twitter, this is the scenario that you want to have happen, right? Is you want all of the division teams to lose, right? So you want the Browns to win, right? And then you want Miami to win and you want Pittsburgh to win. So then it would be the Ravens Steelers and the Browns host the Dolphins, right?
That's the dream scenario. I wouldn't count on it, right? And I thought if Buffalo had lost, if Miami had beaten Buffalo in that finale, Buffalo had a chance to go on the road and beat, they would have been to Kansas City, I think. They would have had a chance to go and beat Kansas City, and that would have helped the Browns because you need a wild card team below you to win to go to Baltimore, right? So the Browns will go to Baltimore week in the divisional round. Or you need both of the wild card teams to win, so you host a playoff game. And I, like we talked about, I just don't think Miami's going to pull that upset. I don't think Pittsburgh's going to pull that upset. So, like the Jacksonville loss and the Miami loss, I think hurt the Browns as far as the chances to host a playoff game because worse teams are now the wild cards as opposed to division teams, if that makes any sense. But yeah, that's what you need for the Browns. And then even if you're talking AFC Championship game, you know, again, looking ahead, let's say that doesn't happen, right? All three wild cards don't win, which would be a long shot. The Browns go on the road in the second round. Then you need a wild card win, a wild card team to win this weekend and then win again the next weekend for the Browns to potentially host a championship game.
For the first time since 1994 season. That's the last time we've talked about that. They had a home playoff game. So,
Wow.
all right, Texans. Are we concerned about the Texans? Second worst record last year. How about that? To turn it around, a rookie QB and first year head coach. I think if I got this
Yep.
correct, fifth team ever to make the playoffs, a rookie QB and a first year head
Oh,
coach together.
I had not heard that one, Chud. I saw that they were the first team to win a division with rookie coach, rookie quarterback, with the rookie quarterback making a minimum of 10 starts.
Okay.
So they probably were wild card teams then. But yeah, so it doesn't happen very often, right?
No,
And I.
I think one of the five times, if what I
Oh,
looked
that would
and
make
I didn't,
sense.
I don't know if I completely researched it. Well, I know I didn't completely research it and verify what I read,
Yeah.
but I saw that one of those five teams was Flacco and Harbaugh back in,
That makes
you know,
sense. 08.
07 or whatever it
08.
was.
08.
08. Oh, yeah. So
Huh.
just in bottom line. Rookie quarterback with the first year head coach in the playoffs, winning a division,
Yeah.
incredible after the second worst record. So, just your thoughts on that. Are we concerned about this team?
You know what? Real quick, so now you got me thinking about Bernie and Marty in 85. Marty took over in 84, I think. Marty Schottenheimer. I don't know how many games Bernie started as a rookie. We know Danielson played some, but they're in that discussion too. I'm going to have to check into that some more
What?
too,
Well, but
right?
that wouldn't be
But they
well,
won the
but Marty,
division. Mar
oh, to
Marty
win a
wouldn't have,
division.
but Marty wouldn't have counted as a rookie coach because he filled in the year before. Yeah.
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 Well, yeah, I guess
You know,
so.
I guess we're getting into the weeds a little bit, a little gray area.
Yeah.
But yeah, but back to the Texans. I think it's incredibly impressive that they've done what they've done. 3-13-1, number two pick in the draft. And that's a franchise that was viewed as completely dysfunctional, right? I mean, they had all kinds of stuff. They fired coaches after 1 year, right? Like that was a bad situation. And for D'Amico Ryans to go in there and clean up the culture and change it. CJ Stroud to play as well as he has. I saw the stat and I looked it up. Third quarterback to lead the league in yards per game. Third quarterback, not rookie quarterback, third quarterback to lead the league in yards per game and touchdown interception ratio. And it was Joe Montana and Tom Brady. So, I mean, the guy's throwing for like 200, like 290 yards a game, something like that. 23 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Remarkable. Obviously, the Browns didn't play him on Christmas Eve. So that changes everything about this matchup. So yeah, they deserve all the credit in the world for what they've done here. And it's both those guys. I mean, those are the two guys that stand out are Coach D'Amico Ryans and quarterback CJ Stroud. And, you know, part of me says, well, they're rookie coach, rookie quarterback. That gives the Browns an advantage. And I think there's something to be said for that. I really do. But we've seen teams get successful. We talked about the NFL is a different world nowadays. I don't think you can take it for granted just because they're new to this, that all of a sudden the Browns are going to go in there and win. Now, we're going to get to predictions, and I think the Browns have a really good chance to win this game. But it's not just because these guys are new at what they're doing.
Yeah, boy, Scott, I'll tell you, watching Stroud, and I didn't watch the whole game, but I watched some of it against Indianapolis. But just even that touchdown he threw early on to set the tone. I mean, this is going to be a much different game than the last time the two teams played with him being out there, certainly. But I'm getting a sense just hearing from a few guys that do you feel like the Browns, and I know they're going to tell us this, but I'm actually believing them. You know, they're not going to treat this guy like a rookie, are they?
No, and we talked to Jim Schwartz. The days are all confused because of the Saturday game. Wednesday, right? So we're finishing this podcast Wednesday afternoon. We talked to Schwartz a couple hours ago. And no, I mean, he raved about the decision-making of C.J. Stroud, which shows up in the five interceptions, right? I mean, if you don't throw interceptions, you're making a bunch of good decisions. So I certainly don't think the Browns are taking him lightly. They see what he's done on film. They see he's going to be rookie of the year. And Schwartz actually brought up that he lost to Joe Flacco in the playoffs when Flacco was a rookie in 2008. It was like 13 to
Oh.
10. He was with the Titans, and they lost. I think it was 13 to 10. And the Titans had a bunch of turnovers. It wasn't like Flacco lit him up, but it's a rookie quarterback. He said, "We can't." It felt like we needed a defensive score, and we couldn't get Flacco to give us one. So he knows what it's like to lose to a rookie quarterback in the playoffs. I think they look at the Texans offense and say CJ Stroud is the number one guy that can kill us, and they're not as worried about anybody else but him.
Yeah, well, that's good to hear. And I was going to go one other player on offense, but we'll get back to this guy. I think you know who I'm going to bring up in a second. But I'm going to keep the theme at turnover since you just brought that up. And
Yeah.
don't the Browns have 37 turnovers? Doesn't that lead the league
Yeah.
turnovers? So I mean, that's definitely a spot where this game could teeter one way or the other when you have the Browns 37 turnovers, but then you have the Texans, one of the best in the league, right? That don't turn the ball over often. So I would say that I'll be surprised if turnovers isn't a storyline in this game, or it's a storyline because they don't happen. You get what I'm saying?
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, the Browns have overcome it all year, and Alex Van Pelt, the offensive coordinator, didn't even want to like talk about it because he knocked down the question was something like, "Hey, you've been able to overcome them all year," and he like knocked on wood because it's so unusual for a team to they lead the league with 37 and to overcome that to win 11 games. It just doesn't happen a lot because the coaches aren't wrong. Every coach quotes that's the most important statistic and the biggest indicator of wins, success, win loss. And that's legit. Like turnovers change games. So the Browns have been able to overcome them. Part of that is because the defense has been so good, period. Right. The other part of that is the defense started to turn the other team over. Like it was slow start, and then defense really got on a run of taking the ball away, and that evened things out. And if you're playing on an even playing field, if this team is on an even playing field in the turnover department, they got a great chance to win games, right? I mean, they've won plenty when they've lost, and I think anytime they've had the advantage or been even, I don't know this off the top of my head, but it feels like they've won, right? Like, it's such an easy barometer, yet they've had to overcome mistake after mistake after mistake, despite no matter who's playing quarterback, right? Flacco's thrown his share of picks, they've had fumbles. But the contrast is the Texans are the have committed the fewest turnovers at 14, and this is the first time in the playoffs, according to ESPN, where the team with the least and the most have faced off in the playoffs. So it's really a contrast.
Yeah, it really is. And you bring up the defense, and that's another place where, at the end, where if Houston wins this game next week, we could be saying, wow, the defense that doesn't travel didn't travel this time. I mean, they have given up what, like an average of 30 points in their last four road games or something along those lines. So that's the another key factor in this one, no question.
Right. And I do think that they can take some confidence. I know Stroud didn't play at Christmas Eve, but The defense went in and dominated. And, the Titans or the Texans' only touchdown was on the kickoff return until the Browns starters had been removed in the fourth quarter. The Texans' deepest penetration was the Cleveland 46-yard line. So they weren't moving the ball at all. And obviously Stroud makes a huge difference there. But my point is this defense got back to being what it was at home, what it was early in the year on the road in that Christmas Eve game in Houston. And I think they can carry that with them this week. And I know what the road numbers are, and you're exactly right. They're startling. Home versus road, it's 30 points a game on the road. It's like 100 yards more, around there. But I believe this defense will go on the road and play well. And I'd be stunned if they didn't, if they kind of relapsed and weren't their normal number one ranked self. That would really surprise me.
Yeah, but you got to feel like Stroud. You got to figure Stroud's gonna, obviously, you already said it, make a difference. There's no question. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if does, get something. I mean, even if the Browns win, I think Stroud's gonna put up some points. I guess I don't want to get to that point yet with our predictions coming later. But I'd be surprised if we're looking at like shutout type ball.
No, I hear you. I would agree with you. Like, there's a scenario that I could see the Browns getting a lead and the defense plays well, and then it's just go get at, get after Stroud and things, kind of snowball on the Texans. But I'm not going to predict that, and I wouldn't expect that. I think Stroud's going to make some plays. It's going to be loud. They're on turf. Everybody's fast. Like, I think the Texans will make some plays. I just don't think it's going to be a ton of them.
And another guy to look out for, we're talking Stroud, but Nico Collins,
Yeah.
that guy's he's a beast.
Big dude. We saw him to open that Colts game, right? Catches a 75-yard touchdown. First play, just runs away from the corner. It was man coverage, ran a post, just ran away from him. We know the Browns like to play a bunch of man coverage, so he's going to have that opportunity. The Browns trust their guys. He's like 6'4", 215, big guy, fast. It didn't do much in his first 2 years in the league, and then has exploded this year. 1,200 yards. I want to say 9 touchdowns. So really, he's come into his own this season. Now they lost Tank Dell, the rookie, earlier in the year. Noah Brown and Robert Woods have been dealing with injuries. I think Woods came back to practice today. I don't know about Brown, but even if they play, like to me, it's Collins, and then there's a drop off to the next couple of guys without Tank Dell in there. Now they got a good tight end, right? Dalton Schultz. You have to be careful about that. But if you're the Browns' corners and they trust those corners so much, it's about not letting Nico Collins change the game. And again, I think that's a matchup that favors the Browns, but all it takes is one big play, right? To switch, to flip momentum, to change the game. If he gets behind somebody and Stroud obviously can make that throw, maybe Stroud extends a play and makes a deep throw. Like we've seen that happen before. And just talking to guys this week, Chuck, especially Jim Schwartz, even today, the emphasis is every play matters. And yeah, you could say that about the regular season, but it's different, right? Like in the playoffs, it's everything's magnified. You can't give up that one mistake, that one mental mistake, that one physical mistake with the potential to change the game, which is why everybody needs to be on point at all times. So that's what they've been stressing, right? The preparation, preparation. And Collins, it's 80 catches, 1,297 yards, and 8 touchdowns. Big numbers.
Let's bring up Myles Garrett. You got to figure, are you predicting a monster game out of him? Do you think this is one of those games
Yeah.
where he, just takes over and next week we're just saying, man, that's
Yeah.
why he's the first pick. That's why he's Myles Garrett.
I think there's that potential. And yes, if it goes like I think it'll go, Browns get, Browns take a lead, they play well. Then it's, yeah, unleash Myles Garrett. I think that rest last week will do him really well, serve him well. The turf, you're fast coming off that turf. And, they have Laremy Tunsil. Now, he's a Pro Bowl left tackle. But even in the first matchup, they didn't let Myles Garrett go one-on-one with Tunsil. It was a bunch of back chips from the running back, double team with the tight ends, the guards helping. So I don't think they change that. I think they say, okay, this is how we try to take away Myles Garrett, and maybe they flip him to the other side and he goes against, the right tackle and see if you can get the favorable matchup there. But I still think Miles will be able to have success despite the attention. And then I think he'll free up the rest of the guys. Omo Okoronkwo, who's back. Za'Darius Smith had a big game in that last game in Houston. If you remember, had a couple of sacks, had one taken away by a penalty on somebody else, hit Case Keenum's arm as he threw the ball, which turned into an interception. So they can't block everybody, and they can't block both ends. So even if they stop Miles with a bunch of people, then I think that frees up Smith, and Alex Wright's had a sack in five straight games. Obo Okoronkwo, like, I like this. I like the matchup of the defensive line versus their offensive line.
Let's go back to Flacco's. We've talked a lot about Houston's offense now. I want before we, move on in other directions here, I do want to finish up on Flacco. And I think the one thing that I kind of missed on, I was concentrating more on Houston's run defense and didn't really think about how they can be attacked through the air. And we talked about that the week after the game. And that's definitely key in this one as well. And that's where Flacco's experience and taking over in that part of the game, I think that's going to be a huge key for the Browns. That said, the one concern with Flacco is back to the turnovers, which we already talked about. He has to make sure that he doesn't make that one turnover that kind of changes the game. And, in the Jets game, he had the one, but, it didn't really ever feel like they were not in control of that game. But the bottom line is you don't want to have that interception that can be a difference maker.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Is it the pick, deep in your end zone? Is it one that gets returned to a t for a touchdown? Right? Those are killers. I that's a concern. Like, he's got to take care of the ball. They have to take care of the ball. And I think he knows well enough. I think Kevin Stefanski will put him in good spots. Now, that's up to him not to make bad decisions, right? So yeah, that's if you're coming up with okay, what are the worst case scenarios? How does this go sideways? How do the Browns lose? That's at the top of the list is turnovers, starting with Joe Flacco. And there is reason for concern there because he has turned it over in this week, as remarkable as this stint has been, maybe it's even more remarkable because they've been able to overcome it, but he's thrown eight interceptions in five starts. Right. And you can make excuses for a couple of them. I think we talked about it earlier, but he's put the ball in harm's way enough. And part of that's the style he plays with, takes some deep shots, it's kind of like a punt, that kind of thing. But he needs to be more careful because, like we just talked about what Schwartz said, they feel bigger in the playoffs. The mistakes, the turnovers, the missed opportunities feel bigger, and are bigger. So he's got to be careful.
We've had so many topics here. It's amazing that it's been this deep into the pod since we've gotten to this one. But boy, injuries is a major conversation this week. And I got Delpit news today. Here we're taping on Wednesday. But the Dustin Hopkins news, that's the big one here. And you definitely hate to see that with the season he's had. And Stefanski said on what was it, Tuesday,
He's gonna,
right? Yesterday, that he's unlikely to play. It's a big loss there, Scott, with the way he's been playing. And they've been able to get through it the last few weeks, not really needing him, but you just hope that they don't need him in this game.
Certainly, it's a big loss. He's the one guy, I think he's the biggest guy you're watching. I mean, Amari Cooper, who didn't practice again today, hasn't practiced since. I don't think he's practiced since the heel when he hurt the heel in that huge game in Houston. But he says he's going to play, but they're obviously protecting the heel and he's trying to, kind of baby give as much rest as possible to go out and play on Saturday. But yeah, Hopkins is the guy. He's the guy that's going to be missing that I think the absence is most significant. And Riley Patterson, right? He's a young kid. He's 24. They had a field goal a drill at the beginning of practice today. We were in there for it. I know he missed one of them. Wasn't happy about it. Kind of clapped his hands in disgust after the drill was over. Came back and made the last one when I was watching. But young guy. Now the only like, here's two good things. Like if you're trying to be optimistic, they're going to miss Hopkins. There's no doubt about it, right? Because he was so trustworthy. He changed everything. You could trust him to kick it from 55 yards, and that's not going to be there with Riley Patterson. It's just he doesn't have the resume. He doesn't have. He doesn't have that collateral in the bank that Hopkins did. But you're kicking inside, which is easier. Patterson spent his career with the Jaguars in good weather and in Detroit in a dome, right? So Kicking inside the dome of Houston makes life easier on a kicker. You know, it doesn't take the pressure away, right? But it makes the rest of it takes away the elements. And then the other thing is he kicked in the playoffs last year with the Jaguars and was 7 for 7 if you count field goals and extra points. And he kicked a 36 yarder to win a playoff game, right? Jacksonville won the first playoff game last year. They beat the Chargers, came back to beat the Chargers, upset. And Patterson kicks a 36 yarder with no time left. So at least he's been there. So he's got something, he's got those positive memories to draw from. Having said that, if you got a 45 yarder to win the game, you're going to be thinking, oh my gosh, Dustin Hopkins was automatic, and we don't know what this kid's going to do.
Yeah, no doubt. How about Monday night? They had a meeting, right? You have been in the locker room all week. You've been around them all week. Do you sense they're the same team emotionally and are carrying themselves as they have all year? What exactly went on in that meeting, and what have you seen with your own eyes that makes you feel confident that, they're up for this task?
Look, these might be my two biggest takeaways from the last couple of days around the team, Chud. And one of them is that meeting. And I think the coaches were a little upset too strong that it got out. And it was actually Joe Flacco kind of let it slip. My colleague Zach Jackson from The Athletic said, you've been talking about playoff football since you got here. Now that it's here, like, have you said anything to the guys? And Flacco was like, yeah, we had a meeting yesterday and people stood up and talked about their, going to the Super Bowl. And so then some coaches were like, yeah, they really weren't supposed to talk about that. But it really stood out. JOK, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, said it's probably the best meeting he's ever been in. And it resonated with him. It resonated with other guys. I know Flacco got up and talked. I know Duron Harmon, the safety that won 3 Super Bowls with the Patriots, got up and spoke. Jim Schwartz, who won a Super Bowl with the Eagles. Bubba Ventrone, who's with the Patriots. They all talked and addressed the group and just about the differences in playoff football and what it takes to win. And we've talked about what it takes, right? And Joe Flacco said it's playing good fundamental football, right? That's it. It's you focus on the task at hand. It's nothing fancy. You just do what you have to do. Bubba Ventrone said it's do your job, right? Trust the guys around you and just do what you're supposed to do. Don't try to do too much. But that meeting, it sunk in with a lot of guys, and I thought JOK really expressed it as well as anyone. So that's one takeaway, and that's Kevin Stefanski kind of, okay, this is the start of our second season, right? We talked about 1-0. It's still 1-0, but here we are. Like, we can see the goal, right? Let's visualize that goal and then go 1-0 each week to get to that goal. And so that's Stefanski with the little big picture. And then the other takeaway, Chud, is we've talked about it throughout the season, but it's been brought back up numerous times over the last couple of days, is just how tight this team is. And guys are giving that the credit for why they've had such a good year, why they have such confidence going into the playoffs. Guys genuinely like each other. Jim Schwartz said the chemistry's been great and it comes from the players. Amari Cooper, like, that was the thing that stood out for him. So I feel like that's all connected, right? These guys talking to each other, listening to each other, have bonded all year since the Greenbrier,
I was going to say, does it
right?
go back to that trip?
Exactly right. And I think everybody's in a good frame of mind from those perspectives.
Scott, I'm going to throw this out at you and just I want to see what you have to say. I wouldn't have thought this 7 weeks ago, right? When we both felt very strongly that they were going to make the playoffs. But I would have not told you I thought they would have a chance to win the Super Bowl. And I'm not predicting that they're going to win the Super Bowl. And I'm not even sure it could happen. But I will say this. I do believe it is possible now. I mean, I guess the point I'm going to make is I could see this going many, many ways. I could see them losing on Saturday to Houston. I could also see them winning the Super Bowl, and that blows my mind.
No, I'm in lockstep with you, and I'm not, luckily I don't have to make the, at least nobody's told me I have to make any kind of prediction like who, how these playoff games are going to shake out, except for the Browns game. But I they belong in that discussion, right? Like, they're not the favorite. The Ravens are the favorite in the AFC to get to the Super Bowl. They deserve it. They played great. They've hammered some of the best teams in the league. They're going to be at home. Like, they deserve it. After that, it gets a little confusing. The Browns are in that discussion with Buffalo, with Kansas City, who's not playing like Kansas City normally plays. Miami feels like they're falling off a cliff. I think we talked about that. So, the Browns are in that discussion. Now they're going to have to go on the road and beat Houston, and they're probably going to have to go on the road and beat Baltimore, and then go on the road and beat somebody else, right? Like, that's
Yeah.
how it looks like it's shaping up. But if I think the way Joe Flacco has played, combined with this defense, it gives you the thought that they can play with anybody. Now, if he plays poorly, those odds change and the thought process changes. But yeah, could he go in and go throw for throw with Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson? Yes. Like, we've seen it. He's done it. When he went on the road in 2012 and the Ravens won the Super Bowl, he won at Denver versus Peyton Manning and at New England versus Tom Brady, right? So he's already done what the Browns are asking him to do. So yeah, I would not predict it, but I'm certainly saying they're capable, which in its own right is ludicrous given the fact that they've never been to a Super Bowl.
No, it's unbelievable. But when you remind me though that they have to win three road games, that's where I'm like,
Right.
I don't
And
know if
it
this
doesn't
team can win through.
it might not be like things could go the right
Right.
way, but it's certainly looking like three road games.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. There could be a possible home game peppered in there, but most likely the journey would be three on the road. It's hard to believe too. Isn't it wild to think if you go back to all the pods we've done? That we would have thought that this storyline of playing a game in Houston against the Texans would not include Deshaun
Yeah.
Watson. Isn't that crazy?
Judd, it's another great point. Somebody reminded me of that yesterday or sometime this week. I was like, oh my gosh. Like, I assume it would have occurred to me at some point, but
Yeah.
it hadn't yet, right? Like, oh yeah, I'm gonna have to mention that at some point this week, right? Yeah, I mean, a little bit of that is out of sight, out of mind, right?
Correct.
A little of it is Joe Flacco being Joe Flacco. But yeah, like, part of the reason for the Texans turnaround is the draft picks from the Browns, right? Like, that's all part of this. And man, if it were Watson quarterback, and that's what this week would be about, so it's certainly different storylines for sure.
Yeah, it is. All right. I think are we ready to get to predictions, or do you have anything else?
No,
And so I think
you checked off everything on my list, John. You got to.
and we didn't see, we don't even plan this, do we? I
No, we
mean,
don't. It's off the cuff.
I'm glad everything's been checked off. Every once in a while, there's one or two things that I forget that you have for me. But all right. So I think after we do the Browns prediction, I don't think we spend as much time as we have in years past on the other games. Maybe a quick predict on each
Okay.
game. You
Yeah.
want to do that?
Yeah, I love it. Yep.
All right. So here we go. Let's get to the prediction time. With last week's game, I went Bengals, you went
Yeah.
Browns. We end up tying at 12-5 each.
Yeah, that was a bonehead pick by me. But nice work. Nice work.
This is a good year for both of us, 12-5.
Yeah, no kidding.
But again, I was going opposite to you no matter what last week. So it was either going to be a tie or you were going to win by two. Browns 11-6. We finished 12-5. Browns are, and I've seen this line move a little bit here this week. I've seen 1, 1.5, 2, 2.5. Let's see, the most current one I saw is 2.5 with the over under 44.5. Have you seen something different here of late?
No, I saw it get up to three, and then I think it went back to 2.5. That's the latest I've
Yeah,
seen.
okay. It was probably pretty quick at three. So that, I mean,
Right.
that's Vegas going. We always talk about the home team feeling like you're a 3-point favorite at home, right? So makes you believe that if this game was in Cleveland, it would probably be Browns -6, maybe
Might even be 9, Chud.
nine.
Right? Right? I
Wow.
mean, well,
Okay.
I mean, they're -3 on the road, right? And so
Yeah.
Houston would normally be +3. So,
Plus.
yeah, I mean, it's either 6 or 9. I'm
Yes.
like neutral. Yeah, neutral site would be 6. At home would be
Okay.
9, right? I mean,
Yeah. Wow.
that's not, it's not like verbatim, but
Well, I'll tell
yeah,
you
you know what I
this.
mean?
If it, if they were playing in Cleveland, I wouldn't even spend a lot of much time on this. I'd be like, oh man, they're winning this game, and I'd be
Right.
surprised if they lost like that, especially with the weather turning this weekend. Man, if this game was in Cleveland, it would be. It's just, I just think it would change the Houston offense immensely, and for them to be down there in the indoors and Stroud being able to do his thing, I just think that's a major difference, don't you think? I mean, if they're at home, right? I mean, this prediction's pretty easy, I think.
I mean, I think from a defensive standpoint, just how much better the defense has been at home.
Right.
Offensively, it's interesting. Like, I think both quarterbacks can throw through bad weather. We know Joe Flacco can. The Browns haven't been great running the ball, so I don't know. I don't know if indoor outdoor makes a difference. I believe home and away makes a difference.
Yeah. I just think that if it's cold and maybe a little snowy, that's what I just think. Some of these warm weather teams, I don't know. Stroud can play in the cold. I don't know. I guess I just feel like if it was at home, I wouldn't spend a lot of time. But here I am wasting more time just talking about something that's not happening. So let's just go with them. Obviously, they're on the road. So I'll go first. You went first last week. I'll go first. Listen, there's definitely a scenario where I feel home field and CJ Stroud has a monster game. The Browns turn the ball over, and the defense doesn't travel. There's no question I could see that possibly happening. And next week we're talking about, a Houston win. And I don't think we could sit there and say, I can't believe it. I mean, listen, they won a division. They have the home game. I mean, playing NFL road games, well, I think, it's changed a little bit over the years. It's not easy to win on the road in the playoffs. And that's what the Browns are facing. So I definitely think that Houston could win this game. It's not like I'd be shocked. That said, I am not going to watch this game and pick the Texans in that scenario without a doubt. And I also feel the veteran quarterback over the rookie quarterback. And with Flacco, I don't think he's ever lost in a wild card round, has he?
I think you're right about that.
I think he's pretty good historically in the wild card round. The way he's playing right now, the veteran quarterback. I just don't think you see rookie quarterbacks win a whole heck of a lot of playoff football games. So I'm gonna, you know how I am. I go with what we've seen, and I'm gonna go with the veteran over the rookie, and then the big number, Kevin Stefanski, 10-0 in his career against the AFC South. I'm definitely not going against that number either. I'm picking the Browns to win and move on 27-23.
Wow. All right. Yeah, I feel a lot of the same things, Chud. I kind of feel like the Texans are going to struggle to score a bit. I mean, I'm sure I gave that away the way we talked earlier. I could be wrong. It could be the road defense against the Browns. But I think Jim Schwartz is going to have a real good plan. Defense is getting healthier. Oboe's back. Delpit might play. You got your corners, I think, are healthy and playing at a high level. You mentioned Myles Garrett and Za'Darius Smith, JOK. So I think the defense is going to give CJ Stroud a hard time, even though CJ Stroud has played phenomenally. I don't know if they'll be able to turn him over. And if they don't turn him over, then, it's probably a close game or it stays close for a long time. If he does turn it over, then I could see the Browns getting on a run there. I think on the other side of the ball, I don't know if the Texans can make the necessary adjustments to take away Amari Cooper. Now, if Cooper can't run because of his heel, that's a different story, and the Browns will have to adjust, and that will change things. But I was asking guys today, and including Amari Cooper, like, okay, you go for 265, 11, 265, and two touchdowns. Like, what do you think they're going to do differently? He's like, well, I'm sure they're going to do something, right? Like, they're not going to just play the same way. But he also said, they're not a team that plays a lot of man coverage where Derek Stingley Jr., who was their number three pick in 2022, like he doesn't think he normally doesn't cover like shadow and receiver, right? And lock down on Amari Cooper wherever he goes. So do you change if you're Houston, do you change philosophically and say that we're going to switch it up? We're going to go more man. We're going to try to take him away. But that's not what you're used to doing, right? Like you have to kind of be true to yourself, is what one of the guys today said. So I'm fascinated by how that's going to play out. I think if they play their normal zone defense, zone coverage, I think the Browns will exploit it like they did the last time, whether it's with Amari Cooper or somebody else. So I just think it might be a bad matchup for Houston defensively. Their best pass rushers, Will Anderson Jr. and Jonathan Greenard, haven't practiced this week. Now, Anderson will probably play. He's played the last couple of weeks, but hasn't played a ton. And, if you don't practice, you're probably slowed down, like we might see with Amari Cooper. Greenard hasn't played since the Browns game, on Christmas Eve. So, They need a pass rush in order to change things and to get to Joe Flacco and fluster him. They need to generate a pass rush. So I think they could struggle with that without their two big ends, and they struggled with it in that first matchup. So I think the Browns are going to have success. I think the Browns are going to score, and I don't think the Texans are going to score a bunch. I'm going to go Browns 27-20, which feels like a pretty comfortable win. It's only one score. It's a playoffs. It's probably how it'll shake out. But, could the Browns win 27-13 or 34-20? Like, I could see that too. Now, I'm not saying that they'll automatically win, and it's only a 3-point spread, and I get all the points you made and we talked about are legitimate. It could go the other way. But I like this matchup, and I like Joe Flacco, and I like the Browns.
All right, 27-23 for me, 27-20 for you. Boy, I'll tell you, I knew the whole time you were going Browns with the
Right.
way you were talking the whole time. But just right up there until you gave the score, you were making me think you were going to go like, two or three touchdown win. I mean, that when you say you didn't think the Houston's not going to
Right.
score a lot, I was kind of surprised you gave them 20. I thought you were going to go a little more than even 7.
Yeah, I made that prediction. I came up with that score last night, and today I've kind of been going toward more. I like the matchups better, but we talk about in the regular season, Chuck. It's hard to pick like a lopsided game in the NFL, and
It
I think
is, it is.
that and I think it applies in the playoffs. One, like you said, one pick six, one kick return changes things. I do think CJ Stroud will be able to make a couple of plays. So,
Okay, that's what I was trying to get out of you. Yeah,
I think he'll
all
make a
right.
couple.
Yeah.
Could it be 27? Like, if I had to do it again, I know I just did it a minute ago, and I'm sticking with my original thought. But
Okay.
2017 works, or I mean 27-17 works. Like I could see that kind of a margin is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no doubt. But we both have 27.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, no doubt. All right, there we go. Let's see if they get it done. Let's not spend a ton of time on this. But let's do quick predicts here on the game. So obviously we're both going Browns. Kansas City. Oh, real quick, before the season we
Yeah.
made our Super Bowl
Right.
prediction, and all four of our teams ended up winning divisions.
Yeah.
You have Dallas versus Buffalo. Buffalo sneaks out of division in the last game on the last game of the year, and Dallas comes back incredible. Philly with the big landslide, and Dallas wins division. So both your teams win the division. Both my teams win the division. One way, one the other. Kansas City more so, I think, because that division was so bad, but they still are the Chiefs and win it. And then I have the number one seed in the NFC with San Francisco.
Yep.
So I have San Francisco, Kansas City. You have Buffalo, Dallas. Very much possibility for both of us to hit our Super Bowl predicts.
Yeah, I know. How about that, huh? Buffalo really rallied for me.
Yeah. All right. So let's go with the Saturday night game, Kansas City at home over Miami. I'm sticking with the team I, picked to get in the Super Bowl. I know they're not playing well, but it's still Patrick Mahomes. It's still the Chiefs. They're at home. Dolphins struggling. I got Kansas City.
I agree. Yeah, I mean, Miami's too many injuries, too many issues. It's going to be cold in Kansas City, although Miami runs it. So maybe that balances it. But I just like Kansas City.
All right, both with the Chiefs. I don't think either of us are going Steelers. We're both going Bills. I'd be shocked if you didn't, but I just listen. Do the Steelers pull stuff out of there? You know what? Could they do it? Sure. Will they? I don't think so. Going Bills.
I think Bill's huge.
Bills huge. Now, there's always an upset. You just so far we haven't picked an upset, and there's got to be an upset. And I'm gonna do it in this next one, man. I just have this feeling with the way the Cowboys do it in the playoffs, the Packers are playing well. I just have this gut feeling the Packers are going to beat the Cowboys. 7.5 point favorite. I'm going Green Bay.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I
Wow.
wanted. Oh, wow.
Interesting. I mean, I got to stick with my Super Bowl pick. I think the Cowboys are playing well. I like Green Bay. They've impressed. Jordan Love's played better than, or played well, right, for his first chance. But give me the Cowboys.
All right. I know that could be a mistake on my part, but I'm going to go with it. Next one. The next two, I think, could go either way. I think these are either way games. Lions at home against the Rams, as you mentioned earlier, we don't need to get into it. All the storylines in this game, I certainly could see the Lions choking at home. I mean, it's not often we see the Lions win a playoff game, and Rams are playing well with that offense. But I'm going to stick with Detroit. I'm going to go with their coach. I'm going to go with their. I think they're pissed off. I think their running game is going to do well, and I'll go Detroit. That said, would not be shocked at all if the Rams came in and won that game.
Yeah, I was kind of torn on this, Judd, but you're right. There's always a surprise, right? Usually a road team, and I mean, obviously, I picked the Browns to win on the road, but give me the Rams in this one. You know,
All right.
Matthew Stafford's I think he's better than Jared Goff. I mean, I like Goff more than a lot of people do, but Stafford's better. He's going back to Detroit. I like Sean McVay a lot,
Yeah.
right? Give me the Rams. I like that matchup a little bit.
And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying McVay is going to get out coached, or I think,
Right.
I'm just saying, I agree with you on that, and I'm glad you brought that up. All right, so we split on those last two games. Last game, Eagles, Buccaneers. I'm going to let you go first.
This is a hard one.
Why
It is, I
let
mean,
you go
it is,
first?
right? I just don't think Tampa's that good. I know Philly's falling apart. I know they have big time issues, defensive coordinator issues. But you know, I don't know if it's a huge home field advantage in Tampa. You know, I mean, if you look at Tampa's last two games, right, they lost to somebody and then they beat Carolina like 9-0, right? An awful Carolina team. You know, I mean, kudos to Baker for getting them to the playoffs, but give me the Eagles.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going Philly. Exactly with Baker. I'm gonna go. I just think the Eagles will find a way to pull it off, and they are favored by 3. I mean, you know, if there was that much concern about the Eagles, I don't think they'd be favored by 3 on the road. So I think they turn it around and get the win. So I'm gonna go with you as well. So 6 games, we agree on 4. We differ on 2. So we'll see what happens there. But bottom line is we both have the Browns. Scott, this was a lot of fun, man. You know, we haven't gotten to do this, as you mentioned at the very top. Have a safe trip to Houston. Look forward to your coverage. And, you know, it's going to be fun to see them kicking it off at 4:30.
Yeah.
Selfishly, I love the 4:30 start on Saturday with my schedule. It just
Yeah,
makes it a
right.
lot easier
Yeah.
not being prime time. I know you feel the same way. With deadlines, I don't. You know, primetime football is so fun, but I hear from a lot of fans too that sometimes they don't want to wait that long, all day long. So I like that it's at 4:30 on Saturday. Make sure to tune in to Channel 3, as I mentioned earlier, the Browns pregame huddle at 2:30, and then NBC coverage takes over after that. I got to admit, it feels weird, Scott. Remember, I mean, that's how you and I started in 2008. You know, you would come on Sports Tonight in the pregame huddle with Withers. All those years of us doing the pregame huddle, I did it for 10, 11 years, and I have kind of an empty feeling here not being able to do the pregame huddle this
Right.
Saturday for a playoff game. But that's all right. I'll take my day off, and I'm going to enjoy watching the game with my family, and you know, rooting the Browns on as a fan, and then get to talk about it with you and at work on Monday. So that's kind of fun for me there. But
Yeah.
it's got to be fun for you to make that trip to cover a playoff game. So have fun.
Thank you. Yeah, you know what? It's actually the first, I think it's the first playoff game I'll cover. Cover live? That might be because we had the COVID year. I don't want to go to
Yeah.
Pittsburgh. I might have gone. I don't think I went to Kansas City. I think I covered that from home too. So this could be the first playoff game I cover live. Yeah, it'll be fun, Chud. And this was fun. This was great. I appreciate you as always. I appreciate everybody listening. This has been another episode of the Zone Coverage Podcast. Hopefully, or we'll do another podcast like the week. But you know, I'm sure everybody's hoping it's. We're talking after a win, and we're talking about a divisional round game, and things will just be even more crazy then. So, thanks for listening, and you can read all my work at brownzone.com. Thanks.